Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
I know I haven't flown in a while, but we used to have conversations about how much I actually hate flying.
Yes, we've had these conversations.
And Chris Ello.
Man, I've been waiting all day for this. The second edition of Scraby's Olympic Magazine is coming up next on Gwynn and Chris.
Gwynn and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Righty versus righty, Antonio Santos, second inning of relief, and Kim swings at the first pitch, hits it a mile to deep left. Joe is going back, looking up, gonna go! Second deck in left for Ha-Sung Kim, his sixth major league home run, and a 7-1 lead here in the sixth.
Hey, welcome everybody to Gwynn and Chris. It is the dog days of August, and the natives are restless in San Diego. 3:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., with the Padres in Oakland, California. Padres are off this evening, but a two-game set against the A's starts tomorrow. Under the guise of a 3-3 homestand, splitting four with the Rockies, doesn't exactly have everybody happy right now, Tony Gwynn Jr. That despite the fact the Padres roll to an 8-1 win yesterday, get the final game of the homestand. How are you today? How was the trip to Oakland?
It was pretty good. It was short.
Short, that's the way you like them.
like short flights, got off, and just kind of been hanging out in the room all day long. So
yeah, you're probably missing quite a bit in Oakland. You got to get out and see the world
a
little bit.
To be fair, we're actually staying in San Francisco. We're not actually
Now that's a different story. That is a little bit of a different story. But, well, you'll be done soon enough, and you can go enjoy the toddling town that is San Francisco. That's weird. They stay in San Francisco even when they play in Oakland, huh?
Yeah. I don't know that there is as many options to stay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think everybody likes staying over on the other side of the bridge. And
right.
That's where we normally stay. But I'm looking forward to getting over to the Coliseum tomorrow. It's been a while since we've been on the road traveling and
How are you going to call a baseball game on the road that you can actually be at the game?
Well, I would assume the same way I do at home. I haven't done the whole road thing in a while.
I haven't done a road game all year. It's so weird.
I think that's how it's going to go.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine.
You know what's funny is that, you know, one of the things that I still was getting used to as a broadcaster is watching it on the screen, and then when the ball is hit, kind of transferring my eyes to find it on the field. I think one of the things, the benefits of kind of watching it on TV is I feel like I have a better rhythm of that now. So, you know, hopefully I can actually follow a little better than I used to.
Well, I was going to say, if you have problem watching the game live tomorrow, just watch it on your monitor in the booth.
Right. Tell Jesse
Tell Jesse to draw the curtains and just say, hey, we're going to watch it on the TV. Anyway, Tony Gwynn Jr. is traveling with the Padres now, and he is in Oakland, and that's where they are getting set. This is the shortest road trip of all time, a two-game road trip. To face the A's, but two important games Tony, yesterday was obviously, they're all must wins. I mean, you start getting into August now and everything seems like it's a crucial game, but these Colorado Rockies, if the Padres wind up short by a couple of games at the end of this season, they can blame Bud Black and the Rockies, because Colorado hasn't beaten the Dodgers, I think, more than once or twice all year. They've only beaten the Giants once or twice. They still have 10 games left with the Giants. The Rockies do, that is. Yet they have just given the Padres headaches. I mean, 8-8 against the Padres, or Padres are 8-8 against the Rockies, however you want to look at it, and 4 wins at Petco Park, where Colorado hasn't been able to win on the road all year. It's hard to explain such things, but they do happen, and somehow the Padres are going to have to find a way to overcome it.
Yeah, no, that's right. And the Diamondbacks have had success against those other teams, too. So it kind of all, I don't want to say evens out, but from a Padre lens, those Rocky games stand out, right? Because you basically have it's finished up 500 right now. I think they're
8-8.
8-8 right now. So those stick out. Now, there's still, three-game series against them going in Colorado. So they'll have a chance to better that record. But listen, I think it just boils down to the Padres needing to be more consistent offensively. First, I think, and foremost, and then on the pitching end the other way.
Yeah.
They just haven't been as consistent. And listen, in some ways, I guess it's not fair that we compare them to 2020 because it was only a 60-game season. But even when you look at it through that lens, they still haven't put together even a 60-game stretch offensively as they did last year. So it's just been a year of inconsistency from an offensive standpoint and from a starting pitching standpoint.
Yeah, offensively especially. I mean, you had the big 24-run game to kick off the second half in Washington. Then coming into the game yesterday, out of 7 games, they'd lost 5 of the 7. They scored 26 runs in those 7 games. So they're averaging about 3.5 runs per game for a week. And then yesterday, you know, they go ahead and put 8 up on the board, and everything looks pretty good. And you say, well, you know, if we could just do that all the time. Well, yes, if they could just do that all the time, they would be, you know, running away with the division. Yes, they'd be running away with the division. But it's not as easy said as done. What are they going to do now with the starting pitching rotation in your mind? I mean, obviously, Kinnear gave them 3 innings yesterday. You know, look, you've got Paddock down on the injured list. Lamet, when he does come back, if and when he comes back, probably going to be in the bullpen. Basically, you're left with Weathers. You're left with a struggling Blake Snell, who's going to pitch tomorrow. You've got a struggling Yu Darvish right now, and you've got a healthy Joe Musgrove. You've basically got 3.5 starting pitchers. I say that because Weathers really is kind of a 5-6 inning guy at most. I mean, they don't want to stretch him out too much. It's going to be a challenge for Jace Tingler and this ball club to make it the last 2 months of the season with that few starting arms.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of different ways to look at this part as well, right? I mean, you mentioned Denelson Lamet. That's a bullpen arm at this point, and it sounds like that's the way they could possibly be using him when he does come back, right? So I shouldn't say it's a bullpen arm, but that sounds like the way they want to use him. You will be getting Matt Strom back. And listen, you don't really know what you're going to get out of both of them. Let's assume that it's good. That hasn't even added Daniel Hudson yet, who will eventually be in this bullpen. So you have some arms that can help you get you, assuming Strom and Lamet are healthy arms, right, and healthy knee in Strom's case, that will serve its purpose down the stretch. Now, to address the starting pitching point, I mean, you just don't know. I mean, how long will Chris Paddock actually be on the IL? He had to recently go on after the bullpen session in which he pulled his oblique, so you don't know how long that's going to be. I think Ryan in his last couple of starts has kind of not been as the strike thrower he was earlier in the season, so it's put him in a tough spot at times in terms of getting deeper into games. And from Blake's standpoint, I think it's the same thing we've been talking about. So you bring up a good point, like what happens with the starting pitch and how does it work itself out? And that's why I think the remedy is offensive. right? It's the team's got to put up runs, right? Because look at the, you look at the Yu Darvish start in particular, his last one. He went six innings. He gave up the five runs. Three of those are solo shots, right?
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that's – it's not the normal Yu Darvish game, but it's a game that the Padres can win. But it's going to take their offense getting back to an elite standpoint. And I think a six-inning start where Darvish gives a five, that's still a winnable game for the Padres, I think.
But especially against Colorado. Come on.
Especially against Colorado, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's unfair that we look at Darvish and expect him to throw up a zero or a one or even a two in every single start out. That's normally what's happened, but they got to be able to win some games like that when starting pitching isn't necessarily throwing up a one, a zero, one or two. And it's just been a struggle to sustain any consistency offensively because you have who you have at this point. There's no really getting around that right now. So the guys, and I think AJ Preller kind of alluded to this, regardless of what moves he made at the deadline, if the guys that were on the roster that they made moves for during the offseason don't live up to their expectation, it's not going to matter anyway. And so those the guys on this roster are just going to have to take a big step forward.
Yeah, they really have to. And for those that are still upset about what happened at the end of the trade deadline and, you know, think AJ Preller, you know, did this seem a major disservice by not acquiring any big-name talent, I would answer by saying, look, he acquired Yu Darvish, he acquired Joe Musgrove, he acquired Blake Snell, he acquired Mark Melanson, he acquired Daniel Hudson, Austin Nola, Jake Cronenworth, every guy on this roster, right? Right on down
right.
the line. Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Tommy Pham, Trent Grisham, Will Meyer, all acquired by AJ Preller. I mean, he put this entire thing together, and all he's saying is that the guys that we've acquired over the last two or three years, most of whom they've acquired in the last year and a half, have got to step up.
By the way, it doesn't mean he didn't try. I mean, listen, ultimately, there were other teams out there that had, you know, ambitions to get some of the same guys AJ did. And
yeah.
they had a better offer that the other team liked. It takes two to make a deal. AJ could put together the best deal he has, and if the Nationals in this case don't like it, they're going to take a deal that they like. It has to benefit them too in that terms. And maybe they felt, you know, that they got the best deal from the Dodgers in this case. I think it just sucks for everybody on the outside looking in because it's the Dodgers. You know what I'm saying?
It's the Dodgers that
ended up with them.
Yeah, that and the fact if you're a Padre fan, you only think about your own team. And you think to
right.
yourself, well, we want this guy, so why can't we get him? And you don't realize, you forget to remember that there were more teams trying to get players than there were teams giving up players at the trade deadline. And the Padres ended up on the short end this time. That's how it worked.
Why do you think the White Sox are made fun of in terms of this Fernando deal? Because it looks like that they gave up a once-in-a-generation type player, right?
Right.
That's something that no GM wants to do. So when
but they got James Shields at the trade deadline that year.
right. And so when you hear,
and people in Chicago were probably celebrating that as well. I know they
right.
I know they look back on it now and go, God, are we dumb to get rid of Fernando Tatis Jr.? But I guarantee you they were celebrating the fact that they acquired James Shields.
They definitely were. And when you start hearing names that were being tossed around, Abrams in particular, that's how most people feel. And this is not just inside the Padres organization, it's outside the Padres organization, that he's that type of player. And so this team has got to play better is what it boils down to. And the pieces they added are going to be of help. But they definitely, the guys who are already here, I think ultimately that's what it boils down to.
It's going to come down to the guys here. You're absolutely right, Tony, and I agree with you. I think they have enough to get the job done. They have to go out and prove it and get the job done. And, of course, you know, there's 2 months left. There's plenty of time. You could, you know, pick up two or three games in the month of August, and you set your sights on trying to take over the Giants and Dodgers with a lot of games against those teams in September. But that is still down the road. We got a day off today. You know what the best thing about a day off for the Padres is?
What's that?
It's one day closer to Fernando Tatis Jr. hopefully being able to come back. That's what's best about an off day. So we'll talk a little bit about Fernando and his prospects when we come back. Get some of Tony's thoughts on that. Of course, the 10-day injury list. This is day number 3 of that stay on the IL for Fernando. You just hope that when 10 days is up, he's going to be able to come back, because that would be a huge, huge boost, of course. We'll talk about that and all the other goings-on. By the way, there's also a bulletin Scraby just tweeted out in the NBA.
I was going to play this before we went to break.
Man, that Chicago Bulls, I'm going to fit myself for a ring.
Chris's favorite player in the NBA.
Yeah. Did they get his dad, too?
His dad's sticking with the other one, I think.
Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo is now a Chicago Bull. 4 years, $85 million, everybody.
This is going to be a sign and trade, isn't it?
It has to be.
That's what they said, yes. So what does that mean? That he's not a Chicago Bull?
No, he
is. Somebody else is. I think there's going to be some shuffling of some deals. I saw a three-team deal that this was tagged in, but right now it looks like a sign and trade. With the Pelicans. So I don't know how this works, who's going where, but looks like you have a new point guard. And to be honest, listen, Chris, before Westbrook came along, I was lobbying for Lonzo to go back to L.A. I think he would have been good with LeBron James after kind of developing his game a little bit now.
I don't know
how he's going to fit in Chicago, but I think he got a good point guard, man.
I think we have a good point guard, too. We just have a pain in the rear end as a dad. That's all. That's the only thing that worries me.
He hasn't been around in a while.
But I don't have
know.
To deal
feel,
with him. So.
I feel like Lonzo told him to butt out.
I think
I feel
so,
like
too.
He's not involved in Lonzo's affairs like he is with the younger.
Yeah, not the,
younger
the same ball. Way he was when Lonzo first came into the league. I agree
in
with that.
In that way, right.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we'll take a quick timeout with that news to carry us over here during the break. It's Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Kind of quiet in that first segment. We'll hear from him as the day goes on, I'm sure. Plenty to come. Dylan Hernandez is going to join us from Tokyo. He's at the 2020 Olympic Games. LA Times, one of our favorite guys, Dylan Hernandez. So we'll be catching up with him in about a half an hour. So stick around for that. Chris versus the Fans, the Big Five, the Daily Gambit. Padres Pen Pals returns to the program today. It's a full 4 hours with Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Here's a check of traffic to kick things off on 97.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
.323 on the clock. Monday afternoon, out here in San Francisco for me. The two guys are, Chris and Matt, are both in San Diego at the Odyssey Empire.
Is it 90 degrees up there, too, or just here?
I think it's just there.
I don't think it's ever really 90 degrees in San Francisco.
Oh, it can get there.
Really?
When?
October.
I've never seen it.
October. When? I remember a day when I was going to school.
I don't know that I've ever been in this city with... I don't know if I've ever been in a city without long sleeves.
It's the coldest city in the world.
I'm telling you.
It is.
I went to college there, and it's either the coldest city you've ever been in, or... when it's hot, the hottest city you've ever been in. Because in October, I remember it was 92 degrees one day. And
I love
was
that you just
one
went
day.
To 1 month.
That one
just,
day.
1 month out of the 11 months.
Yeah, 11
of the
months,
year.
It's freezing
October
cold.
October 27th, 2007 was the hottest day
was
of my
a hot
life.
Day.
You know what? You know what's funny is I always thought, this was in my own head. Remember when the Giants signed Aaron Rowan?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always felt like they tricked them into thinking it was, like, going to be this nice, warm place. because I remember going into town there, and it just seemed like he was miserable. Like, it was so cold all the time.
Didn't he come from the White Sox?
No, he came from Philly.
Philadelphia.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Where it's nice and sticky and muggy.
Right.
I think I'd almost rather be cold.
Yeah, I don't know that I realized it was as cold in San Francisco as it was until I was, you know, playing in the big leagues. And you're here all the time. You're like, you know what? I don't think I've ever had like a short sleeve day in San Francisco. Like I was always bundled up with long sleeve. Even on day games, it's always cold there. Always.
Always.
Anyway.
Plus, they always build a ballpark right near the water.
Water,
just to help
right.
out.
There's nothing like piercing wind coming off of the water there. It's quite comfortable. Anyway, Padres trying to get comfortable out here in these next two games. They got a tough matchup with Oakland without Fernando Tatis Jr., who had to go on the IL after what they're calling shoulder inflammation. And,
that's a nice thing to call it, but it seems a little worse than that.
I mean. It
sounds like he's got a sore shoulder and he could just rub it and he's ready to go again. And I don't think it's quite that simple.
Well, yeah, it's clearly not because he's on the IL. So I think here's what I think makes this one a little bit different than the previous time. Apparently it took a little bit longer for it to slide back in after it popped out. So there's a little more inflammation, probably a lot more soreness than there was previously. So we'll see, and as Jesse and I were talking about yesterday during the game, I think we'll know more as you know in the next 3 to 5 days because we do have a guide on this because we've seen Fernando go through this, and I think the first time he did it, they went to Texas right thereafter, and he was already taking batting practice within the next couple of days. We'll see if he's on that same routine. Maybe if he doesn't. Then you worry from the standpoint that it may not just be the 10 days at this point.
Well, we're going to find out when you get back home because he didn't even make the trip to Oakland, right?
That's right.
The newspaper that he was not on the trip to Oakland. So they're going
to
give him at least a few days here in San Diego to rest. I know a lot of people have doom and gloom on this one. And, you know, somebody wrote a story somewhere that got to ESPN.com that, you know, he might have surgery and be done for the season. I guess that's possible. But I really don't find that to be probable. In my mind, this guy is a freak of nature, and his shoulder pops out, and he might be in some pain. But he's a gamer that's going to find his way back. I really believe that it's going to be a week, right? Another week to 10 days. What was it, Friday that it happened? That
yes.
He went on the injured list? It happened on Thursday. So he went on the injured list Friday. Anyway, I think a week from Monday, he's back in the lineup. And my guess is not only is he back in the lineup, but he hits a home run that day.
Why not? He does it every other time.
He always hits a home run when he comes off the injured list. So, I mean, it is doom and gloom for a week, but they got to get through it without him for a week. Manny's got to tee it up a little bit and, see what else you can get. The other guys contributing. Cronenworth continues to be, I think just remarkably consistent on an inconsistent offense. But I don't think this is the end of the season. And a lot of people are kind of playing it that way. Woe is us. And, you know, that's if it comes to that, then fine. We can all say woe is us. But I expect Fernando to be back in 10 days or so and, producing again. And you know,
you mean to tell me, Chris, you're not feeling like getting a head start on the doom and gloom? You don't want to like just get, you know, get out there early
well,
and do it?
Now, you know, normally I do like to get a head start on doom and gloom. That is my normal way of going about things, but I just have a weird feeling about this season. I know that everybody's, you know, down and out right now, and the natives are definitely restless as these guys head up to Oakland. I mean, the play against the Rockies is a little bit frustrating. There's no question. I mean, to go 8-8 against a really lousy Colorado team is frustrating. You could see how it happened. Colorado does have some pretty good starting pitchers, and they all seem to pitch pretty well against the Padres. But you got to go better than 8-8. But that aside, there's still 2 months left in this season. I just have a feeling something good's going to happen. I think July was they went 11-14 in July. That's not a good month for any team. Yet they're not out of it. They didn't slip slide completely out of contention in July, and they can turn it around and have a hot August and make September interesting. And if everything else goes out the window, you've still got the one game playoff that I think they have it to beat anybody in a game. Anybody has a chance to beat any other team in one game. And I just think that people shouldn't give up on the season so quickly, because if you get into the playoff past the one game thing, it's wide open. It just that's how baseball works.
That's get into the one game, get into the playoffs, because that's anything can happen once you get in there. Couple things in terms of Fernando, I agree. I don't think he's gonna be out. He is a freak of nature. I can 100% see him coming back a week from or Monday, right? Is that the day that
I think it would be Monday? Yeah,
Monday.
Yeah, my math totally skills aren't great, but I think it's Monday.
And listen, there's clearly a sense of urgency that these guys know that they have a window. I think it's highly unlikely that he has to have surgery. I do. I just don't see it. Nothing so far has told us that would be the route that they were going. I know there was some scare. There was a little bit of scare about that the first time he did it, right? Because all we were thinking about was Cody Bellinger and his slipping out and having to have surgery in the off season. That may be something the path they go down in off season. I don't know that it's going to happen right now. I really don't.
I don't think
that's the case. But you do hope that it's a quick one. This is a long sustained injury, because if you're going to have the injury, now is the time to do it with the way Manny's swinging the bat. Like, he's hot enough now, and you already mentioned Crone. Manny himself can carry an offense for a month at a time, right? I think with Cronenworth, that load is lessened because he's swinging the bat well. But you certainly want to get Fernando back as soon as you possibly can. And I could be wrong, but I just have a hard time seeing that surgery is going to be what we end up seeing before the
off season. Maybe I don't see it happening before the end of the season. And you know, we can play this segment, you know, in a couple of weeks if we turn out to be wrong. But I have a good feeling about it. I think Fernando is going to make it through this again. And, you know, I fully expect him to be back contributing, and that's why I'm not ready to pack this whole thing in. And, you know, I don't think the Padres are going into Oakland with that idea. They're still four games up. I mean, it's ridiculous for people out there to be giving up on this season. You're still four games up on a wild card spot right now. The playoffs start right now. You're comfortably in the postseason.
Chris, it was seven. It was seven a week ago, Chris. That lead was seven.
Oh, well, you're right. It's over. No, it's not. People, you don't have to win. You don't have to get into the wild card by a certain number of games.
Right?
You only have to get in by one game in the end. Just get in.
But I want nine.
Well, all right.
I really do want nine.
I'm gonna close out this segment, or have Tony closes out the segment, but I want to finish up by giving you this quote from Mark Twain. The coldest winter I ever saw was the summer I spent in San Francisco. So that's all you need to know about how cold it is.
That's all you need.
Is that directed towards me?
Yes, it's directed towards you, who says that San Francisco is hot.
You are the one hot month of the year in October.
All right, fine. If Chris is going to go look up quotes, I'm going to go look up weather data.
Save us the trouble right now. Let's get to break, pay some bills. When we come back, we're taking you guys to Tokyo. That's right. Dylan Hernandez of the Los Angeles Times is out in Tokyo. We're going to talk Olympics when we return. How's his stay been? This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Monday get-together. Full 4 hours today. Gwynn and Chris, Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Crisello, Matt Scraby in our Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego, California. Tony Gwynn Jr. hanging out in San Francisco, right across the bay, where the Padres will play the Oakland A's tomorrow as the broadcast team travels for the first time this season.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Now, are you guys set for the rest of the way, or is this kind of a trial trip, or do we know?
If it's a trial. I don't think it's a trial, I think it will kind of depend. We'll play it by ear, I think.
Playing it a little bit
for the most part. I think for the most part we'll win, though.
Yeah. Well, look, I think the Padres need you guys to bring it home. So it's going to be you and Jesse Agler broadcasting from Oakland tomorrow, actually watching a ball game as you broadcast it, a novel idea. And we look forward to that. We're trying to track down Dylan Hernandez, who is in Tokyo at the Olympic Games, and we're trying to get a live report from the great LA Times reporter. Scraby is efforting that right now. While he does that, let's take a
He's efforting that, huh?
He's efforting that. It's not. Okay. He's having trouble hooking up with Dylan at the moment, but
I'm getting the voicemail, which is telling me that
You're getting through. So just keep on trying. In the meantime,
yes, keep calling him at 7:40 a.m.
Keep calling Dylan. But in the meantime, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Scraby's still trying to track down Dylan Hernandez in Tokyo. Not as easy as you might think, but hopefully we'll catch up with him. And in the meantime, some Olympic stuff. Tony Gwynn Jr., congrats to San Diego's Xander Schauffele. Is that correct, by the way, Schauffele?
I've heard it a couple of different ways as well. Schauffele?
No, I've never heard that
Schauffele.
One.
Schauffele?
All right, never mind.
Are you just making up
stuff? You're just making stuff up.
Never heard either of those. He's,
no, no, I have heard Schauffele.
You've totally making it up. Xander
Schauffele? No. Chris is about to throw something at me.
You deserve something.
I mean, we've only been... Ah!
I just threw something at him and he caught it.
I don't know what the heck this thing is that the guys in the morning have in the studio.
It looks like it's a stress reliever. It's a stress reliever.
Ugh.
Something like that.
Oh,
anyway.
That would have been funny if that had hit you right in your forehead.
I tried to hit him. It would have been funny, except what if he like fell back off his chair and was knocked out, and then
that would have been even more funny.
And then we'd have a lot of problems if that were the case. But congrats to Xander Schauffele winning the Olympic gold in the golf tournament yesterday, I don't know exactly when it was. I saw it on television yesterday. I don't know when they actually played the
thing. It was Saturday night. I tried so hard to stay up till the end, and it ended up I fell asleep when he teed off in 18.
So it was like Sunday in Tokyo when won the he had to par the 18th hole to hang on. It was a big crowd at the top of the leaderboard, but what was it? Sabatini shot like a 61.
He did.
On the final day.
Which is crazy.
And so Xander had to shoot a low score after having... He had the lead after three rounds, and then he takes the course, and he was trailing by two or three, but shot an excellent final round. So Xander Schauffele, San Diego State, Scripps Ranch High, and an Olympic champion. So congratulations to him. And that's got to feel good for him, Scraby. Get the... The old
Absolutely.
Proverbial monkey off his back. I know that they're going to still say, well, he hasn't won a major yet, but an Olympic gold's not too shabby.
He's not far off from winning a major, too, by the way.
He's not. But I knew Chris was going to say, because Xander Schauffele won the gold, that it means something. Because you told me 3 weeks ago that no golfer cared about the gold medal.
Oh, that's true. I did.
Uh-oh.
You're right.
So... I was waiting for this. I've been thinking about
receipts.
This all day.
He kept his receipts. That's hilarious.
I'm glad you remember everything I said, because I certainly can't remember everything I said.
I don't remember everything you say, but it's only when you scold me
for being
so wrong.
I'm certainly reminded by everything I say by the Twitter people who follow me. But, you're right. I did. I said nobody cares who wins the gold medal. But I think for Xander Schauffele, it's definitely a big deal, because this is a guy who's in the competition right now for best player out there to have not won a major. There's always somebody that comes so close so many different times. And so maybe this will help him get over the hump and get that major championship that a lot of people think he's going to win. But that was pretty cool.
I think these athletes do care very much about going there and winning gold. I mean, that's, at least it seems like they would, like they do, especially for the ones representing America. They go out there, they want to represent well. And so, although it's not a major in some of their eyes, but at least in Xander Schauffele's eyes, I think it does matter. You could see it in his face as he stood on that podium that it meant something to him.
I thought it was Ken Rosenthal standing on the podium. He looks just like him, doesn't he? No. Am I the only one who thinks that? Xander Schauffele and Ken Rosenthal.
What?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. I think they look almost identical.
Identical?
Yeah.
By the way, ESPN is playing the scare game with Fernando right now.
Oh, yeah.
I see the headline. Fernando Tatis Jr. placed on IL. Season-ending surgery possible. Yeah, it is. I guess it is possible.
Yeah, everything's possible. All right. Yeah. Anything's possible, including tracking down our guy on Tuesday morning in Tokyo,
7:45 a.m.
Oh, he's nice enough to come on the show with us from the Los Angeles Times. Our guy, Dylan Hernandez. Dylan, you're getting a round of applause. We appreciate you coming on this morning. How are things in Tokyo, sir?
Weird. You know,
weird.
Well, because it's. Town, you know, and I'm staying in Shinjuku, which is like a pretty, Shinjuku Station is the most crowded train station in the world, right? So it's like a very well trafficked area, and people are kind of going about their lives pretty normally, it seems, right? Even though kind of it's in the middle of a pandemic, and what this kind of reminds me of a little bit is, you know, we see this a lot in Los Angeles, obviously, but you know how they'll block off a street, you know, because they're filming a TV show or a movie or something. Except here, kind of what they have blocked off is kind of on the peripheries of, you know, mostly on the peripheral part of town. They block off like an entire stadium, an entire park or something. But it's like you kind of have like two different worlds, right? Kind of this, you know, this kind of makeshift, these makeshift TV sets, which is basically what these things are right now, because this is a made-for-TV event now. and kind of the rest of the cities just kind of going on doing their own thing. Now, that said, you know, I'm still in this 14-day soft quarantine. So tomorrow's like my day of freedom. But up until now, we really haven't, you know, we've been allowed to, say, walk down to the convenience store, you know, to make sure, you know, get some food to make sure we don't starve. But for the most part, we haven't really been able to go out. So, you know, even though I'm in Tokyo, it doesn't really feel like Tokyo. It feels like I'm doing, you know, media day, like at the Super Bowl or something, where I'm just either on a shuttle or at the media center or, on, you know, or at an actual, like, event. But, yeah, it's really, really weird here, man.
Dylan, what have you been covering out there at the Olympic Games?
Let's see. Just kind of been all over the place, you know. I mean, I think that one thing, you know, that I've kind of taken upon myself is just to kind of remind people of, like, kind of the larger context, right, in terms of, you know, this is happening during a pandemic. I think it's really easy. You know, we got, like, 10 people over here. You know, obviously, you start covering the events, you can kind of get lost in that and, you know, gets lost, you know, I didn't, kind of the big picture kind of gets lost. So for the most part, I've been trying to kind of tie it into this big picture. You know, I went up, I did a women's soccer game that was up in Miyagi, which is actually a couple hours north of here by bullet train. And I went up there because the, you know, they have, it's one of the few places where they're allowing fans into the stadium, right? So I kind of went in search, so to speak, for the Olympic spirit. And it turned out that they were actually not selling any tickets day up, right, because of the pandemic. And so what you ended up happening was, you know, even though Japan's, you know, Japan's women's national soccer team is very popular, just as ours is. And, you know, I was kind of expecting there to be a fairly big crowd there. There were maybe 1,000 people, because the only people that were able to get in were these people that bought tickets way back in 2019, you know. So I've been, yeah, just kind of bouncing around for thing to thing. You know, I've done some, what, basketball. I was at the golf the other day. Oh, right, yeah. You know, right, your guy's guy, the San Diego kid.
Yeah,
Xander Schauffele.
Thank you. I was going to butcher his last name. you know, I saw him out there. I, you know, today I'm going to head out, I think, to boxing, and then kind of we'll see in the afternoon, maybe either basketball or gymnastics. But I've just kind of been, you know, kind of all over the place.
Dylan Hernandez is our guy on the scene, joining us from the Tokyo Olympics. Dylan, you mentioned a ride on the bullet train. I don't want to let that slip by. I had the chance to go to China one time, and I don't remember I remember, you know, a lot of things about the trip. But the one thing I remember more than anything else was taking one of their bullet trains from the airport into town. It was one of the most breathtaking experiences of my life. The bullet train, is it as fast as I remember it being over there?
Yeah, it's pretty quick. You know, I think had I driven, right, I think I Googled it. It was going to be a 6 or 7 hour drive, and we got there in an hour and a half.
Wow.
Now, for me, the big disappointment, right, so I have family in Japan, and I came here a lot as a kid. We used to come every other year, you know, and I've been here probably twice in the last 4 years, you know, for work. And so I've ridden the bullet train a lot, actually. And the one really disappointing thing, of course, because of the pandemic, you know, the bullet train, the platform there, they have the obviously separate platform than the, you know, regular commuter trains. They have the best, like, bento boxes there, right? And so that was closed because of the pandemic. Usually they sell bentos in the bullet train. You know, this time it was just drinks and, like, some chips and stuff, right? So yeah, just kind of you notice, like, these little differences. And it's just like, you know, as you're kind of here, you're just kind of realizing, like, yeah, it's not quite the same here, right? You know, and unfortunately for Japan, you know, these IOC contracts that they sign you to, you know, it would have left them open to pretty significant liability. Like, I get why they went through with this thing. But it's really unfortunate, because I think, you know, part of an Olympics, and especially I think for Japan, is to showcase your country to the world, right? And I think a lot of us were really excited about coming here just because, you know, Tokyo under normal circumstances is one of the most fun cities in the world. Now, it'll cost a lot of money, but, you know, it's really fun here. And you know, 1964, when they had the games here, it was kind of, you know, reintroducing Japan post-war. You know, a lot of their subway system got created during that time. And, you know, it was really kind of showcasing Japan as, you know, kind of this, again, this emerging nation, which, you know, it turned out to be true. And I think that there were kind of similar hopes here, right? That they were going to, you know, I remember when, because I came here last time in 2019 to check to see where they were in preparations, you know, a year before. And I guess, you know, and that around that time, there were news reports in the Japanese media about how there were, I don't really know how to explain this, but like basically like a metal jacket that you know, airport workers were going to wear, you know, kind of like some like RoboCop Transformer arm type things that were going to allow them to evidently carry like 500 pounds worth of suitcases, right? They were going to have, you know, if there was a crowd, they were going to have kind of fully automated food delivery where you could just order stuff on your phone and these robots, in theory, were going to bring you your food, you know? And I think, again, a lot of us were kind of curious, okay, you know, what's, right, whatever is kind of next, you know, Japan a lot of times is the one that brings us that technology. So, you know, just not being able to see all that, it just, you know, I think it's unfortunate for the hosts. You know, obviously they're, you know, their pen, right, their coronavirus numbers are really kind of exploding over here. You know, and just everything about this just kind of hasn't gone right, I think, you know, from that standpoint.
One last one for me, Dylan. There's been so much made about the weather. Is the heat really that bad out there?
You know, it got bad like yesterday, honestly. You know, it's funny because if people are complaining until now, again, I've been here a lot before. This is really nice for Tokyo. You know, okay. Now yesterday it rained a couple days ago and kind of that humidity just kind of stuck around and then it just, the temperature jumped. So yesterday was pretty terrible. Now it rained in the middle of the day, which kind of temporarily cooled things down. But, you know, when we came out of the press center late last night, it was already, you could already start feeling it. My guess is that it's going to actually continue to get worse. Yeah, because you hear about like volunteers passing out and stuff, you know, just in terms of athletes being hydrated. That's kind of been a problem here. You know, and again, the atmosphere right now is one where I think the Japanese media is almost kind of looking for bad things, right? Whatever happening is going to get spun negatively because, you know, this decision, again, to hold these games during the middle of the pandemic and, you know, the hospitals, it seems like the healthcare system is extremely overwhelmed and stretched right now. And so, yeah, when they look at this heat problem, definitely it's something that's been highlighted.
Dylan Hernandez does it all. He's in Tokyo right now for the LA Times. Last thing, we got about like a minute or so left, Dylan, but I'm sure you got word of Scherzer and Trey Turner to the Dodgers. Your thoughts from afar?
Yeah, well, you know, it really kind of slipped. It slipped there like in a 12-hour period. I remember waking up in the morning seeing how, you know, it looked like Scherzer was headed to the Padres.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty big flip there, right? I mean, you know, you have, you know, Scherzer and Darvish, if he's pitching well, you know, I think all of that would have put them in the driver's seat. And then all of a sudden now you see, right, Darvish maybe isn't quite as good as he was in the first half. And, you know, now you're adding Scherzer to the Dodgers and you're adding Trey Turner. I think it really kind of, you know, again, tilts the balance in the Dodgers' favor. I mean, regardless, they were probably, you know, still the favorites, I think, in my opinion, to at least win the division. Probably get to the World Series, but this definitely puts them in the driver's seat.
Well, Dylan, enjoy the rest of your time in Tokyo. Enjoy the bullet trains and try to stay cool and enjoy getting a little more room to maneuver around starting tomorrow. But thanks so much for coming on with us. Very nice of you. It's always great talking to you, especially from the Olympics. We'll catch up to you when you get back.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. There he is, Dylan Hernandez from the L.A. Times, joining us from the Tokyo Olympics, giving us a pretty good feel for what things are like there in Japan during the Summer Games. Certainly it's hot. It's the Summer Games.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it's the Summer Games. Like that's what happens. It's usually cold at the Winter Games, by the way.
Speaking of Trey Turner and Max Scherzer, the starting pitcher Josiah Gray is on ESPN, the Baseball Tonight, his opening game, or the game tonight, I should say. He's starting that game.
For Washington.
For the Nationals.
For the Nationals. So the Nationals are getting the first...
Man, they're really wasting no time.
They're getting the first licks on this trade. Max Scherzer is supposed to start for the Dodgers, I think, Wednesday.
I think you're right,
Dodger debut. All right, we got Chris versus the fans, some trivia when we come back. 833-288-0973. That's right, I forgot the phone number again. I had to look it up. It's Quinn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.